chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see Jesus, who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and received him joyfully. And when they all saw it, they all grumbled. "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone today of anything, I will restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Does that encourage you? Because it encourages me. He was Zacchaeus. He was a person. He was not liked. No. Chief, not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. Sort of nasty on top of nasty. Right? And he had questionable morals. He was a rich man. Don't get riches from collecting somebody else's money. So what's going on there? And in his time, he probably made a lot of enemies. Probably conned a lot of people. Yeah? And this was very public news, wasn't it? Right? Because they said, Jesus has gone to a house of a sinner. What's he going there for? All outward appearances would say, do not mess with this person. Don't fraternize with this person. And the people were like, he's a sinner. And they judged him for it. And yet, and this is the encouraging part, Jesus saw Zacchaeus sitting in that tree. Did he look at the small stature of the outward appearance? Did he think about the reputation? Did he look at him like that? No. He saw his heart. He saw his heart of a man sitting in a tree wanting to find out who Jesus was. He saw his heart. And here's the thing. So, what did he do with that? Middle of the crowd, could have gone anywhere, could have spent time with anyone. And he was like, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. I have to come to your house. And he went, and Jesus went home with Zacchaeus. And probably people were like, what is going on here? What on earth is going on? And here's the thing, it doesn't say then, right? So just think back to the scriptures. And it says, and Jesus went home with him. And then Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give away my money. He didn't go, and they went home. And Jesus sat Zacchaeus down and said, "O mighty sinner, you are a horrible, horrible man. You need to change before I can even love you." Now, I don't know about your Bibles, but my Bible doesn't say that. He didn't tell him off. But what it was, Jesus knew it was a chance for Zacchaeus to get to know him. And that is what changed Zacchaeus' life. And it wasn't a nice, you know what I mean? It's not a, oh, this is so lovely. It's not a nice thing to do, because Jesus knew how this would damage his reputation. He's a teacher of the law. Go to a sinner's house. People are gossips. You know? People will talk. This will get around. He's gone to a sinner's house. And ultimately, because Jesus lived the perfect life, he knew what was coming and what it would cost him to truly save Zacchaeus. And he still did it. But he looked at the heart. And what happened? What was the outcome? What was the result of Jesus spending that time with Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus invited him in, and they spent time together. And then Zacchaeus just stands up. So they'd obviously been sitting down together, but it says Zacchaeus stood up, as if it was like, I'm doing this. Half my money I'll give away, anyone I've defrauded, I'm going to repay them four times over. So in the middle of lunch, you've got your friends over, you just stand up and make a proclamation like that. There would have been other people around. That is a change. That is a massive, massive change from chief of tax collectors to being a son of Abraham. With salvation coming to this house today. That encourages me. Because Zacchaeus realized by giving up the worldly wealth, he would get something far more precious that will never fade or spoil. Ever. And we'll get to that bit in a bit. So, this started me thinking, because that's great. I love those Bible verses, but this started me thinking back to a story in my own life. I'm not sure any of you guys have heard before. Bear with me. I think it's quite a cool story. Right, but me and a mate of mine, right, we're probably about, I'm trying to remember, but I can barely remember last week. So going back this far, I'm really struggling. I think I was about 11 or 12, right? To put it in some kind of context, right? Me and a mate of mine, we were a Bible week. Now Bible week is like, it's like a camping festival for Christians. So imagine like Glastonbury, but just chock full of Christians. I know, it's a dark thought. No, it's lovely, loved it, right? And what happened at this Bible week is there was a temporary radio station, like a pop-up radio station. So like shortwave, local area, everyone could tune in. Great, happy days, right? And we're like, this is pretty cool. Yeah, we're in here. But then what happened one day, it was like halfway through the week that we were there. What happened is someone approached me and my mate and said, could you come on the radio and speak about your favourite band? And I was like, yeah. Me and my mate were like totally excited. Spent a long time thinking about our favourite band. Like literally went off into a field somewhere and we were like seriously thinking about this. Probably spent more time thinking about that than on the grandeur and greatness of God that week. Really thinking about it, right? This is going to be amazing. This is going to be absolutely amazing. So we both decided that we were going to talk about, and this is my age now, we both decided we were going to talk about Nirvana, right? If you know me, you know I like Nirvana. But we were going to speak about it because we loved them. They were great. Yeah, I was like loving it. Band of the time, you know, if you didn't want to be part of the mainstream, that's who you followed and conformed with everyone else that was going that way. Something like that. The irony of teenage years. So we decided we're going to do that. We both did the interview. We got invited into the studio. Very exciting. Lots of kit around. Like, interested in the kit. All the recording mics, everything like that. Really good. And then we really, you know, they were like, oh, it's amazing. Thank you very much for the interview. Yeah, no problems. Off we went. And probably did something illegal. Climbing buildings or something, which I'm not admitting to on the recording. Pause that. So yeah, we just went and did things, climbing things, doing what kids do. That's it. So later on that day, we were probably, as I remember, I think we were having some like kind of terrible pot noodle out of a lukewarm kettle. And one of the guys from my church ran over and said, guys, you're on the radio. And we're like, yeah, okay, 5 minutes of fame, fortune awaits us, we're on the radio, we're it. And it was then that I realised, as the interview went through, They done some editing. Right? They done some editing to the interview itself. And generally what started out as quite an exciting listen, all of a sudden, as we went through listening to this 15-minute expose on music and favourite bands, it got very uncomfortable in the group of Christians that I was in as we were listening to the radio. And the reason for that was the message that they decided that they were going to put out that day was that if you listen to this music, and especially Nirvana, God was not going to be happy with you. Yeah. And I was like, what? But it got worse. It got worse. Right? And then we were like listening along, and I remember distinctly, and they like got this other kid to come on, and he said, yeah, I was listening to Nirvana the one day, and God spoke to me. And he said, if you listen to this anymore, son, you're going to end up in sin. And that's going to lead to death. Right? So, here's the thing with this, right? Now, me and my mate were sat around, and there was a good number of us sitting around this tiny radio, eating food, right? And I was 11 or 12 at the time. 11 or 12. And you just have that proclaimed across the entire site of Christians, but probably Wales and the South West. And my name went up on that radio, and so did my mates. Right? And it was then we realised me and my mate weren't going to be cool. We really weren't going to be cool that day. And we weren't even going to be popular or famous. And to be honest, we were probably going to be viewed as the bad guys. You know? And what was more interesting was then you had people coming from other sites asking about it. And it created this massive talking point. Right up until the evening youth meeting. Everyone had heard it. Everyone. Right. And I'd like to try and put into words like how that felt as a kid, having trusted someone, you know, oh, we'd really like to hear about your band, and then that happening. And it was like, wow, I don't know where to go with that. But the only thing I can say about it, even as a kid, what we say and do as Christians, as representatives of Jesus, on this earth, right here, right now, can have a big effect on people and their view of God. And especially at age 11 or 12. Because I can look back on this, and like, I can giggle about it a little bit. My other friend, he isn't walking with God at the moment. So yeah. So when we both walked into that meeting, like later on, right, 11 or 12, it was me and him, and basically back to back, walked into a hall of 400 kids, and you're like, we are the outsiders here now. We are not accepted. We might not ever be accepted again because we like Nirvana. And you know what? What reminded me about that story, right, is because of Zacchaeus' story. Because as I walked into that venue, I probably had some kind of similar feeling in my gut and heart and brain to the way Zacchaeus felt when he climbed that tree in front of everyone, with everyone looking at him up that tree, judging him. I feel a real affinity for Zacchaeus at that moment in time. I feel a real affinity for that, because it's not very nice. But this story does get better. Well, I'm here, so. But I had people looking after me, who loved me and cared for me. Yeah? And that night, in front of 400 kids or whatever it was, however many it was, right? My youth leader took to the stage to talk about this front page news, right? It was like, and I didn't know what to think. I didn't even know what to say. It's like, I've just been called a sinner. So that's an open and shut case, isn't it? Why are they going to kick me out? You know, I didn't know. I've got to go back to the tent in the dark on my own. So we got up, and this is what he spoke about. He spoke about the love God has for us. And through Jesus' sacrifice, we can see how highly God values us. He showed me that night something of the character of God that I hadn't felt up until that point. Yeah? It was a feeling of love and acceptance and amazement at what Jesus went through to meet me. And that night was different to the other nights at the start of the week, because I was able to worship with a greater understanding of how much God loved me. And we've sung about that today, haven't we? And that means something. And what I do know now is that after that night, and because of the relationship I had with these fantastic men and women of God who led me, I was shown Jesus' heart for me and how much God loves me through their sacrifice, as they represented Jesus to me. They invited me into their lives, spent time with me, and through this I can look back and see how, when they were showing it to me, how much that grace and love cost. But I can tell you this right now, it changed my life, and I'm a stronger Christian for it. It can change your life, and you can be a stronger Christian for it. So what would I like you to know today, after that very harrowing story? I would like you to know this today. It is not what has happened. It is not what is happening. And it is not what will happen to you that defines you. Ever. It is how God sees you that defines you. When bad stuff happens, and it will, we live in this world, pretty much turn on the news, bad stuff happens. If we try to base our lives on the things of this world, we're going to get disappointed pretty quickly. So, yeah, from like trying to build up wealth and a power base or control, even down to little things like one of my mates posted yesterday about why he wondered why people were laughing in the pub because Wales had just lost to England in the rugby. But his entire world is built round that, and it came crashing down around him. You know? But if all those impermanent things are going to fail us, but if our value lies in Jesus, we will not be easily disappointed. Ever. Because, and this is why, because Jesus came knowingly to be born into this world, to lead a perfect life, and knowingly he was taunted knowingly he was imprisoned. Knowingly he was framed while being innocent. He was then whipped to within an inch of his life. He was so badly disfigured that you would have a job recognizing him. He was then led to the cross, carrying his own cross. And he was hung and nailed there and left to die. And as they murdered him, they jammed a spear in his side. And that wasn't the end of it. So they took him down and took him off that cross. They threw him into a cave, blocked it up, and put guards against it. And he did that for you. He was alone. But then, having lived the perfect life, he could not be held by death. And for our encouragement, here, today, now, he knows what we're like, he knows what our natures are like. For our encouragement, on the third day, rose from the grave. Because he knows us. Oh, my word. That doesn't get... Come on. He rose from the dead, so we will not lose heart. But not only that, he rose into heaven. Right? To take his place at the right hand of God, and he is now our intercessor. He is now ready at any time, at any place, from heaven to meet you here on earth. He is our constant companion through the Spirit, and he is always, 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 always there for us.
Hooray.
Thank you! Yes. Does that encourage you?
Yes.
Yeah? Because I will say this to you as well, please take this up. It was once, it was done once, and it was done for all, and it was done forever. There's no going back. When Jesus does something, he does it properly. Yeah? And so, what I want to say, as we start to wrap up here, so when God sees our heart, he sees our heart through Jesus' sacrifice. That encourages me. Because, I don't know about you, maybe it's just me in the room. I won't get it right all the time. You know? I won't. But that's okay. Because God sees us as we are. Yes, he does. But he also sees us as we will be through Jesus. And that encourages me to try and live as best I can for God, you know? Because of what he did. And we as Christians, right, as ambassadors for God, have the amazing privilege of sharing this grace and love with others. We can do it by opening our lives and our homes to the people we meet. And you know what? Yes, it's going to cost us. It is. But yes, it's worth it. Right? And I found in my life it's the most rewarding thing that you can ever do for all the lows. The highs. I've seen people come to Christ. There's nothing better. So God wants relationship with you today now. And he wants to come into your house and spend time with you. Yeah? And things will change. Life will change. And that will be because of your friendship with the creator of the universe. and you, just like Zacchaeus. And the encouragement is that ultimately, when our lives are finished and it's all done, we'll go to our true home and be at peace with our Saviour and our friend. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. And I believe it for you guys from the bottom of my heart. And just in sort of wrapping up now, if you don't know God today as I've described it, and this may seem scary, you know that everyone's looking at you, everyone's looking at you, everyone's looking at you, everyone's looking at you. Up in the tree like Zacchaeus, right? And you're like, I don't know. All I would say to you is all you need to do is what it says in Revelation 3. And it says, Jesus is knocking. Open the door and ask him to come in. And you will know that you are home. So I'll just pray and then the band will come back in. Lord, I just pray today, as we've listened to your word and go back into worship, Lord, that we would have the courage to show people that same precious grace and love that Jesus showed Zacchaeus. Lord, I just pray that we will be able to show it to those around us. Lord, I especially pray that everyone here today will find their value in Jesus and be secure in how God sees them. With that understanding, I pray that we will have a deeper relationship with God and that our lives will change forever. Lord, I especially pray if there are people feeling vulnerable about opening up today. Lord, I pray you give them courage. You give them courage just to stand up, open that door, Lord, and let you in. Lord, and I just pray that you would meet them right now, Lord Jesus, and show them how valued and how loved they truly are. Lord, through what you did on the cross. Lord, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.